The well is deep, and you have no bucket. Little did she know what kind of bucket Jesus carried around with him. But before we go there, we might start where she did, sensing the most immediate problem that Jesus had and that we ourselves often have. The well is deep, and we have no bucket. Your health is failing, and you don't have what it takes within you to make yourself well. You are over your head at work, or at home, or at school, and don't have any idea how to fix the problem. You are staring at your credit card bill, and you look at your bank balance, wondering if you will ever be out of debt. The well is deep indeed, and you have no bucket. Well, Jesus has just left Jerusalem, where he had talked at length with Jewish religious leader Nicodemus. He is heading back now to his home in Galilee, but he has to go through Samaria to get there. I say he has to go through Samaria. That's what John says, but it isn't actually true, you know. I mean, that's the straightest route, but many Jews, you see, took the Samaritan bypass, which was east of the Jordan River through Gentile territory, which was his own problem, you know, but better than going through Samaria, right? You know, this is the way people think when they start out making other people other, right? Instead of seeing people as people and recognizing that their mere differences in look or dress or culture or language, we sometimes see those differences as threats to our cultural purity. But, you know, there's really no avoiding people in the end. I mean, where does it end, right? There's only so many people you can deport. There's only so many people you can try to erase. But they are always with us, around us, because they are us. And pretty soon, this whole process will leave us with no one but you and me. And after a while, I'll not be so sure about you, you know? Well, Jesus had to decide whether to take the path that led through Samaria. Would he take it or avoid it? As the poet Robert Frost put it, the best way out is always through. And Jesus always takes the through way, right? Because he goes deeper than most of us are willing to go. He goes deeper than skin color or dress or history or stereotype. He sees Samaritans as people that God loves. He sees another where others see other. And he even made one of the Samaritans the hero of his most famous parable. We should probably make something of this contrast in this story between Nicodemus in chapter 3 and this unnamed woman in chapter 4. The learned Jewish man who should have seen the light comes to Jesus in the night, right? The Samaritan woman, who should be in the dark, comes to Jesus in midday light. He hides. She steps right into view. The social elite is fearful. The social outcast is fearless. Isn't that the way it is with so many of us spiritually? Those of us who have the most to lose by coming to Jesus have the hardest time engaging him. And those who have the least to lose are the quickest to embrace him. Well, this unnamed woman didn't seek Jesus out. She was simply coming to the well to draw water, and Jesus was sitting there thirsty. The well is deep, and you have no bucket. No, he has no bucket, but for heaven's sake, he is Jesus. He's the one, after all, who has already turned water into wine in chapter 2. He is about to feed the 5,000 from 5 loaves and 2 sardines. Think that's a real problem for Jesus? Deep well, no bucket, no problem. But remember that Jesus' miracles were not just materially motivated, they were spiritually motivated. While many who were the recipients were always and only marveling about them on the material level, Jesus sees the material through the spiritual, not the other way around. And even his thirst becomes, by his willingness to delay gratification, an opportunity to go deeper. Jesus makes himself vulnerable to this woman from Samaria. And if we ever want to lead people to faith, we need to learn this. God came among us as one of us with no attitude, right? When we Christians take an arrogant posture toward others, as if we're the insiders and they're the outsiders, as if we're superior and they're inferior, we're somebodies and they're nobodies, they can smell that coming a mile away. And when we take Jesus' approach, it sometimes shocks others right away and draws them deeper. Look at how this conversation progresses. To begin with, it's a two-way conversation. Jesus is the protagonist. He initiates the whole thing. He goes to Samaria, after all, and sits down at Jacob's well, which, by the way, I got to do a few years ago. I don't know if any of you have done so. It's still there, they say, right? It's in what is now called Nablus, the village of Nablus, on the west bank, right? And it's located, this well, behind and beneath the altar of a Greek Orthodox church. I drank water from it after our guide cranked the wheel for what seemed like forever to reach the underground spring far below, and the water was good. Good to drink. Now, whether it was really Jacob's well or not, who's to say? Like so many things in the Holy Land, don't you know? Right? But here is Jesus at the well talking to this woman. The contrasts couldn't be greater. Just follow along. We've already established that Jesus is a Jew, the woman is a Samaritan. It's obvious also that she's a woman and he's a man. Not sure the scandal then was much greater than now. We still have a hard time believing that men and women can be friends at anything but a superficial level if they aren't married. It's like Jesus is at lunch alone with this woman. What will people say? Well, that's the problem, isn't it? Most of what people will say is based on making sure that men and women don't engage at a deep level, because to do so would always end up badly. Jesus doesn't let that deter him, and to her everlasting credit, neither does she. So Jesus says to her, "Give me a drink." His request doesn't sound respectful or polite on the surface, does it? I mean, we might think that he could have asked rather than commanded? Could you please say please at least, Jesus? You know? But maybe being direct is the most respectful thing, since he goes below the surface this way. He goes straight to the point, and she seems to appreciate it. The conversation proceeds quickly past the initial stage, her wondering why he would even want to be with her there at all, to Jesus saying, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying, give me a drink, you'd have asked him, and he would have given you living water. You see what he's doing here? Things start superficially, and then he goes beyond ethnicity and gender as if he doesn't pay any mind to those things that divide people. Right. He crosses the material plane and goes beyond literal water to living or flowing or spiritual water. The woman is stuck at first in the material plane and wants literal water that will allow her to not have to keep coming back to the well. So Jesus next discusses her relationship status. I have no idea how he knew that she had five husbands and the man she was living with then was not her husband. Here's one of those times I just have to say, that's Jesus for you. He knows us better than anyone else. But there is also no judgment implied in his knowing. Women in that day had limited agency in relationships. The fact is, if she'd been married five times, it's just as likely that she had little choice five times, right? And that her husbands had either died or divorced her. She would have needed a man for protection and provision, as there was no such thing in that time as an independent woman in Samaria or among the Jews. She would have lived with her father or some other man. That was pretty much all the choices she had. Again, though, Jesus does not exclude her or shame her because of her relationship status. Next, they talk about differences in religion and place of worship. She sees that he wants to talk about deeper things, and so she shows that she knows some things herself, though no man probably had taken her seriously enough before to engage her. But Jesus won't even let religion divide them. He doesn't try to make her a Jew in order to be saved. Notice, he goes deeper. He goes to God being spirit and not being tied to geography or religion. And then things get really personal. She admits that there are limits to what any of us can know and that we will have to wait for the Messiah to come to straighten things out. Just when Jesus returns. Jesus finally has her where he wants her. I am he. He says, the one who is speaking to you. I am is a reference to the God of Israel. But more than that, that's interesting to me is he says, the one who is speaking to you. In other words, he, the God who has come among us in the flesh, is breaking down every barrier, the one who breaks below the surface to the deepest places of the human heart, the one who knows you better than you know yourself. I am he says. I am the one who has the bucket to draw the deep water of eternal life. She wants this water. Well, the disciples arrive on the scene with food right after the part that we read. Now, I didn't read the rest of the story because it was already long. You're welcome. Right? But you know that the disciples come back and see that Jesus is talking to a woman, a Samaritan woman. What is he doing? You know? They don't say anything to him directly. I think John wants us to see that we're in church now at this moment. This is the way, when you get the disciples in it, this is the way the church responds. Those who are closest to Jesus and should have had the easiest time seeing that Jesus is always defying social conventions instead continue to have the hardest time breaking through superficial barriers that never adequately define us. It's still that way, isn't it? So she then runs off to town to give her personal testimony of her encounter with Jesus. And some believe in him because of her words. Some are curious enough, in other words, to go deeper and hear him out for themselves. And so Jesus has taken the matter deeper than we could have ever imagined through this woman. Listen, people. People will not come to listen to Jesus by our reinforcing all the borders we erect between us. Whether they are social, ethnic, gender, sexual, religious, national. When we do this, we are trying to keep people apart, and Jesus is trying to be part of the people that we're trying to keep apart. Unless and until we present Jesus the way Jesus presented himself, we will always and only be ghettoizing the church with people just like us. The deep wellspring of eternal life can be reached only by a bucket that Jesus always has. The well indeed is deep, but Jesus has a bucket. Do you want this water of eternal life that Jesus wants to give you? Or would you too rather live on a superficial level? So there's one thing I'm still wondering about regarding this story. Did Jesus ever get that drink of water from that woman? Or did her faith quench his thirst in the end? Just wondering.